It's a Monday morning. Taz of the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Taking it for the next 3 hours right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Mike and Pete across the way. Good to have Bilotti back in the fold. Bogish with your updates as we take you for the next 3 hours. Series at XM 206 app as well. Check out certainly all of our great affiliates across the country. What's going on, Taz? Good Monday, buddy.
Yes, good Monday. Happy Monday. Happy after weekend day. Hope everything was good for you, Moose. Hope you guys had a great weekend.
We did. How about yourself?
All good, right? Not bad. Pretty good. A lot of football, you know, like you. Same thing, all right? Except you got little ones running around going crazy.
No, yeah, a lot of football. A lot of football. Around. A lot of football. So, yeah. Busy weekend, but it was a good weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
All in all. Week two, we got one game left in week two. As you got the Browns and Jets later on tonight out at MetLife Stadium, which will be an intriguing matchup of two 0-1 teams, two desperate teams. And we know Trevor Siemian at quarterback for the Jets with Sam Darnold, the young quarterback for the Jets, second-year quarterback out due to mono. But reacting to everything that transpired yesterday and what was I thought a pretty intriguing day when you look at it, and an entertaining day of football across the NFL landscape. Yes, you had some of your blowouts and the Patriots taking care of business against the Miami Dolphins, San Francisco making it look easy against the Cincinnati Bengals, Taz. But, you know, all in all, I thought it was a pretty entertaining day. It was capped off by a fun Sunday night game that eventually went the Atlanta Falcons' way, 24-20 over the Philadelphia Eagles, who for a second straight week played sloppy football for a half and came out basically guns a-blazing in half number two. It was a night and day difference. We'll get to the Eagles' injuries because that was also a theme of week two in the National Football League, as injuries abound across and big impact players as well. But a big fourth and three play, a little wide receiver screen, and Julio Jones takes it 50-plus yards for a touchdown that gives the Falcons the lead. The tad over 2 minutes to go in regulation. The Eagles march it down inside the Falcons 20-yard line, facing what was it, a 4th and 8, a pass from Wentz to Ertz goes for 7 yards. They review it. He didn't gain the line that he needed. 36 seconds to go, a knee down later, the Falcons and Dan Quinn desperate for a victory. They get a victory. They're now 1-1. The Eagles fall to 1-1. But Philadelphia certainly easily could have won the football game, and the Falcons come away with the win.
Yeah, no doubt. You laid it out perfectly. And I got to say, in that play on that screen, you're talking about Julio Jones. I mean, got to tip your cap to Jake Matthews, the left tackle for the Falcons. What a block. I mean, I know you saw this, Moose. This block was unbelievable. Sanu had a good block, too. You get a guy like Jake Matthews in open space, you know, you're looking at a guy 6'5". You know, 290, 300 pounds in open space, able to hit a block like that on with Sanu. I mean, but in open space, again, a guy that big is very impressive what Jake Matthews did there to break Julio Jones free. Unbelievable. The speed Julio had was amazing.
Well, yeah, he hit about 20 miles an hour, I believe he topped that out, which is amazing when you look at it, the amount of speed that Julio Jones has with the size that he does have. For Philadelphia, though, and for the Eagles, where they didn't look particularly good in half number one, they lose a couple of their star wide receivers in DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. Jackson with a groin injury, Jeffrey with a calf injury. So you have, you know, the second, third, fourth wide receivers going out there and being the key guy for Carson Wentz. But also Wentz didn't look particularly good either, where he had some, you know, in Philadelphia on the whole in the first half, I don't think played particularly well. And it's the second straight week that this has transpired. Last week they did against the Washington Redskins. The Redskins are the Skins. They're not a particularly talented team or a good team or a well-coached team, and they steamrolled them in the second half. It's not going to be the case with the Atlanta Falcons now. They did have a lead late. It was a 4th and 3 play and easily could have won it at the end of regulation as well, Taz, if their offense was able to make a couple plays. But, you know, the Eagles could have, would have, should have for them. And they also, and as did the Atlanta Falcons, the Eagles last night got ravaged by injury.
Yeah, they did. And you mentioned about Wentz. You know, he threw 2 interceptions. And you're right. I don't think he played that well myself. Just threw about 230 yards. With Matt Ryan, you know, the quarterback for the Falcons, they won the game and stuff, but he threw for 3 interceptions, but he had 3 touchdowns. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, no, you're right about Wentz, yeah, and the injuries on the Eagles, yeah. So they got to figure it out, man. It's like they, you know, it feels like yesterday they won the Super Bowl, and it wasn't yesterday, but it just still feels so fresh. I know it's not, but I'm just saying, like, you know, the injuries and who knows if Wentz is like he was, you know, when he was at the peak of his game as far as health and playing. But
well, he hasn't found that MVP form before he tore his ACL out in Los Angeles. Yeah. But and he went into the concussion protocol, went into the tent last night, came back out. It was strange. You know, Josh McCown starts a drive late in the first half in which he comes in the game, leads them basically inside, I would say, the 25-yard line, I believe, if memory serves me right, last night late in the first half. And then all of a sudden trotting onto the field comes Carson Wentz after he gets out of the concussion protocol to finish off that drive. Now they end up kicking a field goal. Jake Elliott does at the end of that first half, but still, it was kind of a little bit of a strange scene. But I don't think Wentz looked great. He took a lot of hits. You know, he did. The Falcons were able to get after him. You know, and I'd be a little concerned, Taz, about him being able to hold up for the entirety of the season after what we witnessed and what we saw last night, which was a concern after they traded Nick Foles. It's something we talked about at the time. You know, it's got to be Wentz's team. It's got to be his franchise. It was not going to be able to be that with Foles staring over his shoulder. And also, he's got to show you that he can stay healthy. He was never healthy in college, couldn't stay healthy in college, and has not been able to stay healthy in the National Football League. He's a wonderful young player. He's a great quarterback. He's got all the intangibles and tools that you'd want in a young signal caller. But also last night, the fears that you have if you're an Eagle fan came home to roost a little bit, because you see him on the sideline, and that's the last place you want to see Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and you're right. You nailed it, man. It seems like, Moose, like it's going to be a complete overstatement, exaggeration, just for hits and giggles for the conversation. If I feel like this guy spends more time on the sideline, we've seen, or injured, than he has played. I know that's not true, but it's like you shouldn't even think that of a young, awesome player like Wentz is, and he is, you know, when healthy, when fresh. You know, he's ultra-talented, ultra-smart, great arm, all this stuff, but, you know, can't stay healthy. You said it, like, since he's younger in college, same thing happened to him. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's a massive problem for them. So they got to try to figure out, or there's no backup there with him for him. There's no, you're not going to the promised land, you know, with Josh McCown. It's just not going to happen. Or Nate Sudfeld, it's not going to happen. That's their backups there. So, I don't know. And the injuries, yeah, definitely nailed them, like you said, the team, the Eagles team. So, and also, you know, I mean, you gotta also tip your cap to the Falcons. They played good there towards the end, obviously, right?
Yeah, yeah, they did. You know, you're not wrong. You're absolutely right. And Matt Ryan, you know, had missed on some deep throws earlier in the game where he had guys in the end zone when he would had zero coverage. And the Eagles were bringing the blitz, Taz, and missed those guys, but was able to finally hook up with Calvin Ridley, I believe it was, on a beautiful pass over the middle in the first half. And then the second half, a little bit of magic, and Julio Jones making it go on that wide receiver bubble screen. But as we talk about injuries, Taz, and we talk about, you know, teams, and all you need to do is survive the week, right? I mean, it's a case of, you know, finding a way to win the game. It doesn't have to be the prettiest win in the world, but you have to find a way to win the football game and march on to the next week and just get better week in and week out. That's really kind of the mantra of NFL coaches and assistants across the league, is you're not going to be playing your best football at the start of the year. If you are, then you're going to be in trouble at the end of the year. But you also want to stay healthy. And when you look across the football landscape, if you head to Pittsburgh, where the Seahawks just continue to find ways under Pete Carroll to win football games. And they go into Pittsburgh, where everybody and their mother, after the Seahawks barely survived the week previous at home against the Cincinnati Bengals, a game the Bengals easily should have won. They got on the road in Pittsburgh. This is not the Patriots. It's the Seahawks. Seahawks don't have a cavalcade of weapons at the wide receiver spot.
No,
you're saying,
no,
all right, the Steelers, this is their game to lose, right? They're going to find a way to win. They're coming back home. They should be bothered by the fact that they were embarrassed by the Patriots. In steps the Seattle Seahawks, they beat them, and not only do they beat them, the Pittsburgh Steelers, James Conner leaves the game with a knee injury, Ben Roethlisberger leaves the game with a right elbow injury. The significance of that right elbow injury, we'll find out a little bit more over the next day and a half, Taz, where Mason Rudolph is coming in and finishing that game off for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, I know, and he actually played pretty good, Mason Rudolph. That's the smaller part of the story. He was 12 of 19, 112 yards, two touchdowns. He did have one INT, but yeah, Roethlisberger, you got week two. You got a guy like Roethlisberger who was long on the tooth. Okay, well, I just said last week, watching him play, he looked a little sluggish in the pocket. He's never been fleet-footed, as we know. But he did look, to me, last week, same thing, yesterday, I should say. But last week, he looked very sluggish, too. But now, with that right elbow injury early in the game, I mean, and the James Conner deal, like you said, I mean, this is it's like week two, you're hearing all this stuff for different injuries, and the Steelers are like, oh my God, they're doomed. I'm going to get to the same stuff in a little bit. But it's just a, what do you do? These guys are going 150 miles an hour, they're playing 100%, and then you get these injuries, and it's, you know, if you're the Steelers, you had any hope here, any hope, you got Big Ben, boom, that could be out for a significant amount of time. You know, you got a problem. Antonio Brown's, you know, been gone off your team. You know, obviously, Lev Bell's been gone off your team. Now his guy that's behind him, James Conner, who's the starter, you know, now he's got an injury. So, yeah, they got massive problems with Steelers. I'd be panicking right now if I'm a Steelers fan.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, all due respect to Mason Rudolph, he's not Ben Roethlisberger, and the explosiveness to that offense without Antonio Brown, you could see it. And there is a night and day difference when you take those kind of playmakers off of the team, and then you look at a defense that's not nearly what it once was, especially at the linebacker spot. And getting after the quarterback, and we've talked about those deficiencies whatsoever all the time, Taz. So I look at a Steeler team whose season clearly, you could look at it being a lost year. If Roethlisberger's out and Conner is out, sometimes you lose just way too much. I mean, I'm sorry. Backup quarterbacks are there for a reason. Not telling you that Rudolph can't play eventually, but he's just not Roethlisberger. He doesn't make up or does not have exactly what Roethlisberger has done over the course of his career. So, I mean, and that's one where, you know, he suffers the elbow injury, and you say to yourself, uh-oh, a right elbow injury. Right, if you're a quarterback, I mean, that's a massive problem.
He grabbed it right away, too, as soon as it happened. He grabbed it right away. Hey, you know who, I don't know if you noticed, you know who got some burn yesterday? Benny Snell. Snell running the rock for the Steelers. Yes, once Conner went down, man. Yeah. He had 23 yards. My man!
Yeah, Benny Snell. He did. Yes.
The pride of Kentucky.
Right. All due respect to Benny Snell. The Steeler fan was a little bothered that they were seeing Benny Snell in the game.
I was happy.
I understand you were, but you're also not a Steeler fan,
too. No, I'm not. That's true.
So, it was good to see Benny Snell get a little bit of burn. That's then you head out to Los Angeles with the Rams and the Saints, a game in which, you know, the officiating draws a headline because they take a touchdown away from Cam Jordan, who's joined our show before, and should have been a touchdown. They blow the whistle and blow the play dead on what should have been a fumble. They give the ball to the Saints, but still take a touchdown off the board. But the bigger story for New Orleans is the fact that the team headed back home, and their quarterback, Drew Brees, remained in Los Angeles to see a hand specialist because he leaves this game early on in the game, trying to throw a ball over the middle. The big paw of Aaron Donald is there as he's following through. His hand goes directly into the hand of Aaron Donald. He has a thumb injury, can't pick up a ball, as we've seen the video time and time again on social media, him on the sideline trying to grip a football, and it basically drops to the side and rolls away. And he looks like he was in excruciating pain. So he said he thinks the injury, you know, it could be significant. We'll find out exactly what the hand specialist in L.A. has to say. But the complexion of the Saints season completely changes because Teddy Bridgewater is not Drew Brees. And we saw that over the course of the game yesterday where he's holding the football for way too long.
Yeah, no, he did. And I think you got to give Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, this is obviously catastrophic for the Saints. We know that. And we saw how just the Rams just pounded them 27-9. The Rams just took advantage of the situation that where offensively the Saints were hurting. But Teddy Bridgewater, I do think you got to give him a chance here a little bit. This guy has had success, if you remember, a couple years back with the Vikings, and he had the bad leg injury, all that jazz. My point is, I was listening to Troy Aikman, who was calling the game for Fox last night, and he broke it down perfectly while Bridgewater was struggling. And it's something that I think a lot of people would assume, but when you hear a guy like Aikman say it, I buy into it. He's like, he just hasn't had enough time as of late playing, so everything's ultra fast to him, and he couldn't. As the game evolved, he started catching up with the speed. So I think that if you give him a week in practice with the ones, he'll play better than he played yesterday. I mean, he was 17-30 with 165 yards. He did protect the football. He had no interceptions. But, I mean, I'm not saying, or I'm not even implying that he's Drew Brees. But what I'm saying is they got a lot of weapons on that team, and I do think that if he gets some reps with a guy like Michael Thomas. He started connecting with Michael Thomas pretty good during the game, later in the game. Early, it was just bad. He was holding the football long. He was getting hit left and right. He was a deer in the headlights. I think, you know, like, as the week goes on this week, behind closed doors, once the speed with working with the ones gets, you know, gets rolling for him, I think maybe he'll play better. But it stinks about Breeze.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hope that he could play better. I don't disagree with that. But I think the complexion of the Saints season does change. If you find out that Breeze is, say, out, he has to have surgery or he's done for the year, you're no longer looking at New Orleans as a championship contending team. I personally do not.
I agree.
I don't look at them as that kind of a team with Bridgewater quarterback. They would be crossed off my list in terms of getting to a Super Bowl, getting down to South Beach, and that's where I look at now. Can Bridgewater hold the fort? Say it's a 6-week injury for Breeze, Taz. Can Bridgewater hold the fort? Yeah, he might be able to hold the fort.
He can. Yeah.
I mean, that might be a possibility. But if news comes out that Breeze is done for the year, then I don't think the Saints can get where they wanted to go and where we thought they could go a month ago.
Yeah, no, it'd be hard to argue that. I think they would have, and this doesn't really win you anything, but, you know, I think they could win a good amount of games this year, but I don't think they're going to win in the NFC Championship without Drew Brees. No, I'm with you on that. I'm not even implying that Bridgewater
Brees. I know you're not.
I'm just saying, out there that's saying, I'm just saying, I do think he'll play better, but
yeah,
it doesn't
I think
matter.
He'll play better, but I also think there's a ceiling to his play.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people can look at Drew Brees and say, well, he's not throwing the ball deep anymore.
Right.
He's not the same quarterback he was 4 or 5 years ago, and that's fine. Taz, but you know the National Football League had a long Sunday. When you look at, and you know we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg in terms of injuries across the league, but stars drive this league, quarterbacks drive this league,
sure.
And we talked about in the first 12 minutes of our program this morning, we talked about two quarterbacks in two huge NFL cities, New Orleans and Pittsburgh, respectively. Where you wake up if you're a fan of the Saints and the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have major reservations of where your season is going. Now, the Saints are 1-1, Steelers are 0-2, because you do not know the significance of the injury to the star quarterbacks. And if both of those guys are out, you know, your expectations for those two teams clearly are diminished. And that's a problem for the NFL, Taz. And you look at two older quarterbacks as well. Brees is in his 40s.
Right.
Roethlisberger's in his late 30s.
Right,
we're not talking about guys that are young either.
No.
Who are clearly on the back nine of their career, Taz. And that hurts for the NFL because you want to see stars on the field. You don't want to see backup quarterbacks playing in the NFL.
No, of course. But you know, what you're saying, too, about their age, I think is a very important point. And for those that don't realize, you know, when you're in your early 40s or in your late 38, 39, and you're an athlete to this level, it takes longer for your body to heal. Okay, so if a young quarterback that's hypothetically 23, 24, 25 years old, he's going to heal so much quicker than Roethlisberger or Breeze. It's going to happen. So
you don't know, like an elbow tear?
What's
say if Roethlisberger suffered a torn ligament in his elbow.
I'm just speculating
here. Yeah. But, I mean, he did grab his elbow.
Right away.
So say if Roethlisberger tore his ligament in his elbow. Wouldn't that heal? Wouldn't that kind of an injury be the same if I'm 40 or if I'm 25 or not?
No, I don't think so. Because what happens is the rehab process, the older you are, everything gets pushed back a little bit more. Every athlete knows that. It just happens. It just, when you're a little bit older, you know, it pushes. I could be exaggerating. It could be a week and a half longer than if a Sam Darnold, I know he has mono, but let's say he had a ligament in his elbow. He's younger. You know, he can recover quicker in rehab where your body doesn't respond as well the older you get. You know, and also, to be frank, Ben Roethlisberger is a big, heavy, thicker guy. Where Drew Brees, he's leaner, he's more fit looking. He keeps himself a little more fit, even though Roethlisberger is older. Brees is older, right?
Correct.
Right. So if you're a little bit leaner, okay, if you have lean muscle more and less body fat, and you're older, you could definitely recover quicker than the guy who's your age. That's a little heavier. My point is, let's say they had the same injury. I'm not a doctor. I just play one on the radio. But let's say they had the same injury.
That's interesting.
Drew Brees. Let's say they were both 40 years old. Drew
Even
Brees.
Even if it's a ligament tear in your thumb.
A lot of times, yeah. Well, yeah. Let's just say it's the elbow because the thumb is such a. There's smaller ligaments, obviously, smaller muscles. Let's say they both had, hypothetically, Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger had a ligament in the elbow. Okay. and they were both the same age. I'm saying because the guy's a little leaner,
okay.
His body, his metabolism, everything, his testosterone level, everything moves quicker internally
okay.
when you have leaner muscle and less body fat.
Gotcha.
That's my point.
Well, that's interesting.
Being a little bigger and thicker could be a little bit more of a slowdown for Ben Roethlisberger. That's what I'm saying.
That's interesting. I didn't think about it like that. So we'll see exactly what the injuries are for them when you look at Roethlisberger and when you look at Drew Brees. And we'll find out over the course of the next day and a half. But certainly not a good Sunday when you look at fans for those two respective cities. We're just getting going. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. That's your number to call. Week 2, Sunday that was in the NFL. We're reacting to it. It's Taz and the Moose with you. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All
right, more brought to you by the Home Depot. Visit HomeDepot.com for details on flooring, appliances, and bathroom home improvements. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. How about Anthony Rendon? Rendon hit his 33rd home run and drove in three as the Nationals pounded the Twins 12-6 out of Minneapolis. Mm. So there you go for the Nats.
Wow. We got a little disingenuous commentary from Andrew Bogus offline. Comes in and says good morning to me, Moose. He saw you earlier, and you know, offline, he said good morning to you. But he says he didn't see me in the newsroom. But I was in the newsroom, and I did see him. He didn't see me. He blew me off. That's what happened.
Okay.
Moose, you were busy doing something online for the show, and you didn't see what happened. But I saw what happened. Okay. So, Andrew, you come in here and say, good morning. I didn't see you earlier. That's a lie. You did see
me. Nice.
Good morning, Taz. Good morning, Moose. You actually
Goon Jones.
Cut me off with your anger before I finished my sentence. What I was saying was you were not in the newsroom when I said good morning officially to everyone.
All right.
And I had to go back into my little booth. You were not there in that 13-second window.
Shut up!
Mark Melusis was. You were not. I did see you out there other times, but I couldn't say hello because I was in here talking to Amy Lawrence.
Moose, how come we don't have little boots? I like the little boots these guys have. These up, you know that little boot they have? The little with little microphones, little soundproof boot?
Yeah.
I wish that I could do the show from in one of those boots.
Go ahead.
Okay. Wait.
That was easy.
I'm sure we can set it up.
Can I broadcast live from there?
Sure.
Should we try it? One day? Exactly.
So wait, you want to be like 7 steps away while Moose is in here?
7 feet away. Yeah, not steps. No, I just think it'd be cool. There's 2 of them there. If Moose does one in one booth, I do the show in the other booth.
Yeah, why not?
Boom, boom. Like that.
Yeah, that's great.
Booth Jones.
What do we need this big room for?
Yeah, you're not on TV.
These cameras don't mean squat.
I know. Go ahead. You're more than welcome. You want to try it?
You want to join me?
No.
Okay.
There's not enough room.
Nope. No, there's the other one.
No, that's like a production booth.
Oh. Yeah, that one's different.
I'm always in that one. I hang out in there sometimes.
But I could do my updates
hang
from
out
back
in
there.
Doug's booth?
Yeah, dude. Sell a lot of books in there.
Very nice.
It does have a lot of books. It's like
a
library.
It's like my mailbox here at the office. That's a whole other story. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, Andrew. What's going on?
Hey, thanks, Moose. Same to you. Here's your report.
What a transition.
Sponsored by Progressive. Progressive Insurance, protecting commercial vehicles and offering specialized coverages designed to protect your business. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. They were down 3, facing 4th down, shy of midfield. The Falcons called a screen pass for Julio Jones.
Snap to Ryan. Here comes Philly. Quick throw. This is Julio Jones. 45-40, 30, 25-20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Mm. Holy goodness smokes.
54 yards for the go-ahead score as called by Wes Durham on Falcons radio. The Atlanta defense then stopped the Eagles on 4th down for a 24-20 final.
On that play, like I was saying earlier in the first segment, I mean, I'm telling you, I really feel like, and Cliff Collinsworth, who I'm not a fan of at all, his commentary for NBC, I think he kind of usually stinks, but he actually nailed it on this one. He basically was talking about the great block by Matthews, and I really think, and it's rare, that you get an offensive tackle who gets that kind of love, but well-deserved. That play is not breaking for a touchdown if Jake Matthews, the left tackle for, and Sanu made a good block too, but for Jake Matthews, guys, to make that kind of block in open space, coming off the line and sprinting on an angle. He's got a great angle,
yeah,
but he's in open space, 6'5", 300 pounds, blocking a cornerback in open space the way he did. Dude, that is so hard to do. To me, this is going to sound like an overstatement. That was the play of the day for me, was Jake Matthews' block. And I'm not kidding you.
Okay.
That's it. That's my take on it. All that's right. It right there. I'm very passionate.
Thanks, about it. I look forward to the more Jake Matthews conversation next hour.
Bogus. Just saying. The guy made a great play. Hold on a second.
Yeah, please.
We're supposed to be here discussing these things, right? They say, hey, guys, can you guys, Andrew's doing his update. Can you guys talk to him? Because that's what I was told when I first came aboard here a couple of years ago.
I get sad.
Because he struggles. Yeah. So can you guys help?
No, we do talk about it. I was just being
bring
sarcastic.
Bring him to the finish line.
I was just being sarcastic. Yeah.
I love. And what's fun, Moose, is the no hot take guy. He's got a Jake Matthews hot take on a Monday morning.
Right. And the one who does, the guy that.
That's the play of the game.
The guy that doesn't like trite conversations bother when someone doesn't say hello to him.
Yeah.
I mean, get out.
All right.
Bogus, go ahead.
So the Falcons win. The Saints did not. 27-9 to the Rams in L.A.
I'm not
more
argue
importantly.
A good point, if I'm the bearer of getting the beatdown of the joke, or not of the point, I'll take it. I'm a man. I'm accountable. You know that, Moose.
I understand
make
that.
Make a
yes.
good point. I have to work
anything
on some
more
of my,
on Jake Matthews.
Maybe next segment. We'll
thank
see.
You. I look forward to that.
Then there's Drew Brees' right thumb injury in that Saints loss yesterday. He will see a hand specialist in L.A. Ben Roethlisberger has a right elbow problem in Pittsburgh. No excuses, though, for losing to the Seahawks, says head coach Mike Tomlin.
We lost a number of guys in this game, but that wasn't the reason why we didn't win this game. We were fully capable with the guys that were on the field. We didn't make enough plays, to be quite honest with you. We didn't play clean enough, particularly in some moments. We got to get better.
Mason Rudolph finished the game, threw two touchdowns in a rally that fell just short. The Steelers losing at home to those Seahawks, 28-26.
This team whacked us good.
I'll tell you, you gotta love Carroll at the end of that game. I don't know if as that game is the clock is winding down, Carroll and the victory sealed. Carroll on the sideline hugging Bobby Wagner, other guys singing and joking around with his team. I mean, you could tell he's the oldest NFL head coach. I mean, think about that when you look at Pete Carroll. He does not act in any way, shape, or form. And people thought that act in his, go get him kind of college rah-rah would not work once again in the National Football League. And it works. His team loves him. They play hard for him. They understand what they're a well-coached team. And you can understand, Taz, when you watch him on the sideline, why his team connects with him so much and they enjoy playing for him.
It's infectious, for a guy his age, like you just said, his energy on the sideline. And even in a loss, when they lose a game, he's not, he's a positive type of feel guy, know what I mean? And so, no, I wish he would have done that many years ago when he was head coach of the Jets. That was many moons ago. But I guess he learned over that time, and all he'd done at USC, the greatness there. But yeah, no, you're right. It's very college-like feel what he does with the Hawks, for sure.
Yeah, he does. And that hug between him and Wagner, I thought, was kind of genuine. Sometimes you see stuff, you're not exactly sure if it's
genuine. Yeah, it's a real hug or not.
Right, you can tell it's kind of genuine between the two.
It's like around here, when I shake everybody's hand after the show, when I go home, I hug everyone, give you a quick hug. I don't do the quick, what do they call that? What do the kids call it when you do a quick hug? I don't do that. I embrace all of you guys, physically embrace you.
Thanks, Moose. So the Colts got by the Titans yesterday, 19-17.
Slow down. Hey, hot shot. Hot shot update guy.
He's got somewhere to go.
Andrew,
you're appreciating
your hug hot take now.
We got to go. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was going to say that the Bills won yesterday, but never mind that. How about some baseball? The Cubs still in control of the NL wildcard race, their third consecutive rout of the Pirates, 16-6. The Brewers stay a game behind with a 7-6 win in St. Louis. Ryan Braun, go-ahead grand slam. The Mets are four back at the Cubs after last night's 3-2 home loss to the Dodgers. Angels outfielder Mike Trout's done for the season with a nerve issue in his right foot. He will have surgery later this week. Hugs all around.
Well, there you go.
We'll see you in a little while.
Very, very much. Well done.
Great job, buddy.
Talk to you next hour.
Man, he can't wait to get out of here.
Well, yeah, he's got another. He's got a more.
You know what? I don't care what he's got to do. I got things to do. I'm busy too. That's right. You better. You went to.
Well, he's
just
got
go.
Dual responsibilities.
Yeah, I have multiple too. So do you. What do you think? We're
not
working.
During the show.
Yeah, but we have, besides broadcasting, we're multitasking. As you know, we're always doing research, breaking
that.
News.
He's got a time. He's got a hit. It's a little different.
All right.
Give him credit. He's got a certain amount of. He's got a time that he's got to be on the air someplace else.
It's a little stressful. Yeah, he seemed pretty
cool
about that.
Well, I understand that, but it's a little bit. I'll you know, we'll rip on Bogus all you want, but yes. He does have some place he's got to go.
That's right.
Well, let him keep going.
He's got dual roles.
He can just go. Just keep on going. How about that? Sick of him.
We'll come back. We'll talk about the Chicago Bears, who they've got a kicker, Eddie Pinheiro, with a big kick last night or yesterday afternoon out in Denver. To lift the Chicago Bears to victory. They've got themselves a kicker. We'll get into that next. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. It's time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question, be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. And the Chicago Bears have themselves a kicker in a wacky game out in Denver between the Broncos and the Bears. And both teams desperate for a victory. Chicago, last time we saw them, they were losing the Thursday night opener. Out at Soldier Field to the Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Denver coming off the Monday night loss in Oakland against the Raiders. And a game that in which you thought at one point in time the Bears had control of it, right? Leading the game after the short touchdown run to give them at that time a 13-3 lead. There was Joe Flacco late in the game, Taz, leading the Broncos on a go-ahead touchdown drive in which they score the touchdown, a beautiful pass to Emmanuel Sanders, then hit the two-point conversion with just 36 seconds left in regulation. And with just 36 seconds left in regulation, Taz, the Bears were able to get themselves into field goal range, and Pinheiro hits a 53-yarder to win it.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a crazy ending. I actually caught most of the fourth quarter, and I caught the ending of this game, and it was a super vital play, a call, I should say, that happened here against the Broncos, which I feel cost them the game. You know, it was a roughing the passer that shouldn't have been, dude. It was Trubisky was literally just, I think it was Chubb who nailed it.
It was Chubb.
Trubisky was just releasing the ball, and for those that didn't see it, I'm just describing it. And then Chubb wrapped him up from behind. And they threw a flag. I'm like, what the heck's going on here? And that rough in the passer put them in prime position to basically get in position to get this field goal for sure and win the game. It was a horrible call. Horrible.
Yeah, and then it was a terrible call. I still don't understand. I went back and watched it four or five times why that was roughing the passer. He didn't hit him late. It was not a blow to the head. He did not lead with his helmet. Yes. He did not go low. He didn't go after his knee. No. It was kind of a textbook formful, you know, what you see when pressure is happening and going on the quarterback, Taz. And unfortunately, they make that call at that stage, which to me made little to no sense.
Made no sense. And then what?
Terrible call.
Horrible. Because, like you said, it wasn't a hit. It wasn't a low hit. Flacco was in the middle of, I'm sorry, Trubisky was in the middle of throwing the ball and just got hit from behind. It was, I don't know what was worse, that call or the call in the Saints game, which I'm sure we're going to get to in a little bit here with the Rams, but Allen Robinson made a nice catch and got down to a knee, so he had 1 second left. I don't dispute that. The clock was right for the Bears, and then kicking that field goal for Pinheiro. Pinheiro. I keep thinking it's like Anthony who works here.
Oh, no,
similar but different.
Pinheiro.
Pinheiro. It's close.
Pinheiro.
Imagine Anthony kicking.
I could not. No.
I don't picture being
No, he's too stiff. Yeah. So you look at that game yesterday for the Bears. The one thing I'd look at for Chicago here is that I'd be a little concerned is the lack of development when you look at Mitchell Trubisky, who it almost yesterday they're trying to win in spite of him. And minimizing some of him at the quarterback spot. I mean, he's got to evolve. If the Bears are really going to get to where they need to go to this year, Taz, and I understand it's only week two, I'm not going to say the season's over for Mitchell Trubisky. He looked awful, awful against the Green Bay Packers week one, that Thursday night game. And there were times yesterday where it was almost like I felt like the Bears were fearful of throwing the football with Mitchell Trubisky, too.
Yeah, you know, his numbers reflect what you're saying. And I like Trubisky, but I can't dispute with you because you're not wrong on the way he's been looking. He was 16-27. I'm looking at it right here. 120 yards, no touchdowns. He had no interceptions is good, but he was.
In third quarter, Taz, there was one point at 79 yards passing. This is 2019 NFL where they beg you to throw the football.
I know.
I mean, it's 79 yards passing in the third quarter.
That's a bad deal.
Tough to do, Taz.
He did do well, though, to get Pinheiro in that position to kick.
No, he did.
In the fourth quarter, he did. But I'm trying to give the kid a pass.
I know what you're saying, but Taz, I'd be a little kid. I mean, it's one thing. He's going to need to throw for the Bears to win.
Yeah.
No, at some point in time, they're going to need for him to be able to throw the football. Like, you can't win in spite of your quarterback. The defense is really good, Taz. They're not 85 Bears good. They're not Ravens good. They're not that kind of defense, Taz.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, I'm not saying he can't do it. Last year, at times, we did see him do it. Remember, what do you have? 6 touchdown passes, 1 game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah.
I mean, there were times that Trubisky threw it very, very well a year ago. He's going to need to take that very next step for the Chicago Bears this year.
With roughly 30 seconds left in the game yesterday, his team won the game. And I think his confidence moves. This is a better way to say this. I do think Trubisky's confident because he did make a couple important throws. One or two to Burton, I can't remember. And then, like I said, one to Allen Robinson. He put his team in position to win in that.
You think Robinson got down?
I did. I was texting.
Very close.
I was texting with someone, and I said to this person, he did get down. He did get down.
It was sure very, enough, very close.
I thought he definitely. You didn't think he got down?
No, I think he did, but I.
It was
you
close.
Know,
yeah.
It was very close.
He did get down. I do think he did.
That's usually a call you don't get on the road, though, too.
I mean,
he usually does. That's, you know, but it was very, very close to set up the Pinheiro field goal. And you want to know how high altitude helps you out, Taz? Well, if you draw a comparison, right? Pinheiro in Chicago, his range is 52, 53 yards.
Mm.
Out in Denver, he hits, like, so in Chicago, he can barely make a 52 or 53-yard field goal. And then he goes out to Denver, and he drills a 53-yard
field goal. I know. It's crazy.
So you look at how altitude plays and kicking in that kind of an atmosphere.
That's
does
funny.
Play. You saw it yesterday in the Chicago Bears. Even though it was ugly, Taz, you'd rather win ugly than lose ugly.
Yeah.
And the Broncos lost ugly, and the Bears. And think about it, if you're Denver, Taz. You score a touchdown, you hit a two-point conversion, and with 36 seconds left to go in regulation, and you still lose.
Yeah, and it happened.
I mean, that is amazing.
Yeah, and like I said, they did, and we both talked about it, they did get screwed on that Chubb roughing the passer.
No doubt about it.
Horrible call. But, hey, congrats to the Bears to get a big win like that, go 1-1, and you're on the road, like you said, Moose, you're in Denver, you get that victory. That's you get on that plane and get the hell back to Chicago quick.
Yes, you
don't
do.
Don't stick around.
Yeah,
get out
you
of
do.
There.
And
you got lucky.
We mentioned the play between the Saints and the Rams, Taz, and you referenced it as well, the Cam Jordan, where they take a touchdown away from him, where initially they called it an incomplete pass. It was a fumble. They blew the play dead. And really, What you fault the officials there is they get the call right, but they don't give them the touchdown because they blew the play dead. So the Saints get the football. They just don't get the score. Mm. And really kind of was a the Denver call was a judgment call that was a bad call. The mechanics of the Saints and Rams was where the referees failed because they are taught to let the replay be your friend. You always have the chance to go to replay. Let it play out. Let the play play out. You can always go back, put time on the clock. If it's an incomplete pass, whatever it might be, Just let the play out. Don't blow the play dead unless you are 100,000% sure about what you saw. And unfortunately, in that game, they blew the play dead, what should have been a touchdown, and there's nothing that they can do in the real book to change it, Taz, because once they blow the play dead,
they can't
go back and all of a sudden say, well, it was an inadvertent whistle. Now we're going to give you the touchdown. They gave the Saints the football, but they didn't give them the score.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly, because if you're comparing that with the Bears and the Broncos, where Chubb got that roughing call. Because you're right, that was a judgment call. The thing with Cam Jordan, I mean, yeah, it should have been a touchdown. It shouldn't have been blown dead. We know that. And I think it was Henderson who came off the edge and knocked the ball out of Goff's hand, if memory serves me.
Yeah.
And that's and beautiful fumble recovery right there by Cam on that play. But yeah, to blow it dead was definitely a problem. And that hurt them big time. And it just seems like out of all the teams to have a bad call against, it's the Saints again. Right? That's what everybody's talking about. Oh, my God, they're getting screwed again. It's almost like you feel like these refs have it out for New Orleans. I don't think that's the case. And I think there's some sketchiness with refs, in my opinion. But I don't think it's like, let's go after, Peyton and his Rams. I'm sorry, his Saints. I don't think that's the case. I just think it's a weird coincidence.
I think it's a strange coincidence. I mean, I think there are people that are good and there are people that are bad at their job. And unfortunately, sometimes I don't think you have... I don't think everything is, I would say, not every official is great at the job that he or she does.
Right.
That's the way to put it.
A lot of them suck. Yeah,
well,
that's what I'm saying.
There's lack of consistency when you look at it with some of the officiating. Some of it's good, and they've lost a lot of experienced guys. Now you see in television that have decided that, you know, they'd rather take the TV job and work in the booth or work in a studio, Taz, and get probably paid just as much money as they were making as an official. And yeah, they didn't want the grind of traveling and doing everything that they could do, because a lot of guys you see in the NFL, you also see in college. You also see doing college basketball. Gene Steratore. I mean,
guy's everywhere.
Well, he used to do, he did NFL games. You'd see him doing college basketball games left and right.
I'll be honest with you, Moose. My problem with that guy in the booth, like, his inflection's great. His voice sounds good as far as when he gives an opinion or he gives a professional breakdown. And I believe in him. I trust him with his expertise. But he never gives you, like, I don't think he's on the fence. It's like he very rarely goes against what the refs are saying on the field. Like, he very rarely, he shows that respect to his former brethren. And I understand that, but you're getting paid to do a job. I can't name a play right now, but I know recently I've seen him side with the guys on the field and stuff. And I'm like, wow, what? You know, like, he never... And whatever broadcast team he's working with, they'll try to get him to say something a little bit different, maybe disagree with the call, even though it was overturned. No, it shouldn't have been. He never does that. Like, never. So that means every play is done right with review, and these guys, according to Gene Steratore, I guess. I don't know. I guess maybe I don't like these guys in the booth. They're getting on my nerves a little bit.
No, I...
Fox has got the other guy. What's his name? The mustache.
No, well, they have Blandino.
That's the guy, Blandino.
Right, they have Dean Blandino.
That's a great name, by the way. Dean Blandino.
Correct, right. He used to be head of officiating, left that to join Fox. He also does stuff, I think he does a show on NFL Network as well.
That's shocking.
I think you're in a tough spot. I think you want to hold guys accountable, but I also think you know those guys as well, so you don't want to publicly embarrass them, too. But you're there to do a job. I have not picked up on as much as you have not corrected. I'll take note of it moving forward here.
You know how I am. I look for that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I look for it.
I know. I've not picked up on that with Steratore. I think I thought he was, I'll tell you this, as an official on the field, I felt good when he was doing an NFL game.
Well, that I agree with. I thought he should go back on the field.
I thought he was a really good NFL official and head ref. I thought he was always in control of the game. I didn't think there was any kind of... I felt comfortable and felt good when he was leading the way.
He had, on the field, and it was annoying, he had a certain swagger. When he knew he was going to be on camera, he'd walk up like a gunslinger. All right, here we go. I'm going to do my on camera. All right, you got holding. You got holding on the offense.
Yeah.
That's a 10-yard penalty. First down. And he would do the arm, and he got a little oil on his arm. And he's got a swagger about him. It's annoying.
No, he never had. No, you're thinking about the guy with the big arms was Ed Hockula.
Yeah, yes. But
he was the one that had
the
arms.
I know all of them. I know he is, but this guy didn't have big arms, but he had a glistening oil on his face. He wants to be an actor, Gene Steratore.
We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about Antonio Brown. We'll do that next. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.